listening to Law and Gospel, or I should say you're listening to Law and Gospel on this Thursday, October the 4th, in the year of our Lord 2018, a Rumination Thursday. And normally we are talking to Wes Reimnitz on the phone, but unfortunately today he's in the studio.
Unfortunately.
Oh, I mean fortunately.
I mean, how good can it get? I mean,
well, I'll tell you why it's good. It's not you being in the studio. It's what's going to happen after.
Yeah, well, you promised to take me out to the fanciest restaurant in St. Louis.
But White Castle is closed, so we'll go somewhere else.
Oh, boy.
Good to have you with us today. And we're going to be doing something that has been on my mind for quite a time to try and explain to our listening audience why there are so many people leaving the church, especially young people. And you gave me a sheet of, what, 5 pages of what truth is?
Well, we had talked over the telephone about truth. And in particular, you had talked about John 14. Was it John 14, 6?
Jesus says, I am the
way, the truth,
and the life.
And so I went back and I did a search through the scriptures to come up with 5 pages of the word truth. Well, it's amazing. You can do it in 0.3 seconds with Bible Works.
Yes. No. They'll tell you even how many times truth is on. What I feel really bad is Bible Works is no longer for sale. But be that as it may, we've got the copies that we're using. And it really is helpful in doing a Bible study and a sermon, etc. There was a really interesting quote by G.K. Chesterton, because a lot of people don't believe there is such a thing as truth, and they don't believe in God anymore. And here's what he says. When men choose not to believe in God, they do not thereafter believe in nothing. They then become capable of believing in anything. I thought that was really pretty good.
In anything. And in themselves.
Well,
you know.
You hit that on the head, yes.
What kind of sparked our discussion a little bit back and forth over the phone, because I'd heard it on TV where this guy had said to another person, I believe your truth.
Yeah.
Your individual truth. And I'm going, whoa, we're getting a little relative here.
Yes. That's what the postmodern society in some aspects is. You can have your truth, just don't impose it on me. I have a different truth. And that's true when it comes to the flavor of ice cream. But when it comes to the flavor of God, there's only one truth.
Truth, yes.
And that's in Jesus Christ. So what we want to talk about is, and we're going to use some technical terminology, but a lot of people have become Epicureanism or are following Gnosticism today.
Oh,
and so
words.
We need to understand those. Epicureanism, nothing is more sacred than individual liberty. In other words, you may be opposed to certain ethical things, but you can't impose that on me. So if I want to have a gay marriage or if I want to do an abortion, that's fine. That's the Epicureanist point of view. The other one is Gnosticism, and that is nothing is more sacred than the self. And here's a Lutheran teaching. The nature of all sinners, they are inherently and incessantly self-justifying.
Yeah. Finding their own way to...
Exactly. And what I found interesting in reading about this is the way today people who have left the church have become self-justifying. They do so, and you can see this on television all the time and in politics. They gaze at their own perceived uniqueness, goodness, and beauty.
Hmm.
And they brag about it. And they don't realize how ugly this makes them, since nothing is quite as ugly as self-centeredness.
Yeah, and don't you watch these detective shows where you get the height of that?
That's a really good point to make, is in these detective programs, nobody commits murder except for a self-justifying reason. And then they'll sit there when they finally confess they did it, and they'll say really crazy things. Well, she got angry at me, you know, and therefore when I hit her, I didn't mean to kill her, or when I shot her or whatever. And they try and justify themselves.
Declare themselves free.
Yes. Because do you remember the question that Luther said everybody is asking? Namely, how can I find a gracious
God?
Yes. Excellent.
Ah.
That question has changed today.
Really?
Yes. The answer, what they're looking for now, is how can I find a gracious neighbor?
Oh, the neighbor's going to take care of you, huh?
The neighbor is where they get their self-validation.
Mm.
The neighbor is where they get justification. And as one scholar said when he heard that, how can I find a gracious neighbor? Good luck. Because it's not going to happen.
How does Romans 1:8 then turn?
What's that say?
For the wrath of God is revealed from the heavens against all ungodliness and the unrighteousness of men who for their unrighteousness suppress the truth.
Yes.
And your neighbor's going to suppress the truth to a degree, isn't he?
Oh, just take a look at the internet. Yeah, I don't use those Facebook things and things like that. I know they could be helpful maybe for congregations, but since I don't have one right now, I stick with the radio and people hear exactly what I'm saying here. But there's just no doubt that Facebook, Twitter, etc. has really shown how people are looking for acceptance.
Mm.
In fact, they're not looking for grace. They're looking for acceptance, and they're not looking for justification. They're looking for tolerance. And these people, and you know, I drive around with some of them in Uber and Lyft, they really are disinclined to confess any sins they have.
We'll try this one on for our neighbor.
Yes.
Romans 1:25, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator.
And who's the biggest creature they serve?
Themselves.
Exactly. That's their God. Remember? Luther's definition of God is whatever you
want
trust.
Want him to be.
Yep.
Make him to be.
So they crave acceptance, but they seldom get it. And therefore, they don't see themselves as sinners. I think this was really a good insight. They see themselves as victims.
Mm.
Everybody is seeing themselves as a victim. And they do that, for example, if you're a woman, well, then you're a victim in that class. If, depending on the color of your skin, you're a victim in that class.
And isn't that a lot different than what we do at the beginning of the worship service? We're not victims. We're all sinners.
That's right. Deserving nothing but
temporal and eternal punishment.
Yes. And I think this is one of the reasons why we see so much mutual accusation and condemnation.
Hmm.
These people pursue dreams of the future, which they expect will give validity to their lives, and it's not giving that validity.
Mm.
And I think this is really important to understand, because the vertical dimension has been replaced by the horizontal dimension.
Oh, now, what are you talking about when you're talking vertical versus horizontal dimension?
Exactly. Vertical means...
Yeah, up and down.
Up and down. And that relationship to what is up.
Oh, yeah, to God.
Has now been replaced by
self.
The horizontal, yes.
Yeah, the horizontal becomes self to self.
Very good. And therefore, they try to find their purpose in the validation of their neighbor.
Neighbor. Well, doesn't, in a more technical term, we've discussed this maybe as pastors, of an objective truth versus a subjective truth. Is that what you're kind of driving at?
Explain that a bit.
Well, objective truth would be something outside of ourselves. In particular, we're talking about the Word of God, for instance.
Exactly.
And that's the truth. The subjective truth is...
what I believe.
What I believe and what I wanted to make it.
Yes. What was really interesting is the original sin, beginning with Adam and Eve, is still going on today, where to the core, human beings are self-justifying. In fact... now, you and I hardly ever have any arguments with the wife. But, well, maybe you do. Okay. I don't, because she's always wrong.
I just say yes, dear.
Yes. That's justified. And for me to think she's always wrong is a way of justifying myself. It's really funny. We get arguing on a particular thing, and I say, but you said, and she says, no. And then I make a decision. We got to start tape recording everything that goes on in the house.
Well, actually, I came home one day. She said, how was church? And I said, I loved the message the pastor had. And she said, what was it? He said, he talked about sin, but he talked about everybody else's sin, and he didn't hit me on anything. So I came
home. Yeah, I know.
Wonderful. And she looked at me, and she says, I think we need to talk about that.
Exactly. I love that one commercial. It's a car commercial. And the guy is standing there with his wife beside him, and he says, boy, I had this little accident, and the car company just forgave me. And then he looks over at his wife and says, you know, they forgave me.
But, you know, flipping it a little bit, who knows us even better than our wives but God himself?
Yeah, in fact, I even said that in a Bible study recently. I said... now, a lot of you may not think I'm that big a sinner because you see me in the best, you know, the pulpit, things like that. But if you want to know if I'm a sinner, contact my wife. Yes, exactly.
But you go into the Psalms, for instance, what is it, 90 or 92, that God takes our sins and puts them into the light of his presence.
Yes. This is what I want to get to, is that in the day of the Reformation, people try to justify themselves coram Deo.
Mm.
That's Latin for before God.
God.
Today, contemporary people are not seeking to justify themselves before God because there's not that vertical thing anymore. They themselves are justifying themselves coram hominibus.
Before each human or neighbor.
Exactly. It is a huge difference. And this is where the church can be very, very helpful. In fact, I don't know how much you know about, because neither one of us are involved with a 12-step program of Alcoholics Anonymous. But they don't end up talking about a God who forgives, but rather a God who accepts them as they are.
Okay.
That's a huge difference, because then in recovery, they only can experience release from their guilt, not through the word of absolution, but through the word of acceptance. And see, that's where the Christianity has a way to help these people who are trying to justify themselves before the neighbor. They finally get to a point where it doesn't work.
Mm.
And that's where the Christian message gets you justified by absolution. Explain what absolution is.
Well, that's what we were talking about earlier, that when we come to church on Sunday morning, one of the first things we do is confess our sins.
Yes.
And as one person in a Bible class, I asked that question in a Bible class, lady raises her hand, she says, it's what comes next is why we're so willing to...
Yes.
We get absolution.
After it, yes.
You're going to forgive us through Jesus Christ.
The fact of the matter is, everyone... At least I have never met anybody who doesn't want to have a sense of meaning or purpose in their life.
Mm.
And when you lose the vertical and are stuck with the horizontal, we ought not be surprised at the growing number of suicides.
It's a back and forth is what happens, because you have nothing to hang on to. It's somebody else's perception of truth.
Yes.
And... And what makes yours any better than the other?
Yes. What people, when they lose the vertical relationship, namely to God, then he has to justify himself as an object of primary value in the universe. He must, in the eyes of others, be seen as a hero and other things, mainly that he counts more than anyone else.
And the older they get and the more they think, we're not the heroes we really think we were or are.
Yes. What we need to tell people is that they're also following faith. They have a faith understanding that their worth is calculated by how well others look to them.
Mm.
And guess what? You're never going to be satisfied with the way people look at you.
And therein lies the difference. When you know, when you look at our baptism, for instance, you know, God takes off of us our robes of unrighteousness, our robes of sin, and gives to us his robe of righteousness.
Yes. As I'm contemplating this, I really see a long gospel thing here. Luther and the Reformation were as against the view that you're saved by your works, right?
Right.
Guess what? These people think they're saved by how they work with their neighbor. It's still salvation or self-righteousness by works. It's no different than the Pharisees at their time.
And the love that they want to show to each other is really self-calculating, is it not?
Exactly. In other words, this lack of the vertical... A lot of secularists don't want to have anything to do with God. But the problem is the vertical dimension is hardwired into human nature. It's hardwired in the sense that people want to feel good about themselves. And there's two ways that can happen. By their works, namely what their neighbor thinks about them, or by absolution.
Mm.
And it's a huge difference. If it's by your works, you're the one who has to do it.
And therein lies, too, you know, what we often say on a Sunday morning is how we come to the cross and how we leave the cross.
Yes. Yeah, we come to the cross because of the law.
Right.
And we leave the cross because our failures in the law have been forgiven.
And therein begins... Our life of work, so to speak, with our neighbor.
Yes. By the way, we were talking last week about the Heidelberg. We could have brought in thesis number 18. Here's what it says. Talk about fitting here. It is certain that man must utterly despair of his own ability before he is prepared to receive the grace of Christ. Isn't that good?
Right. Thesis 28 talked about the love of God.
Right. But I'm concentrating right now about works.
Mm.
That if you don't despair of your own ability, you are going to be broken by the law. Because you cannot achieve by the law proper self-justification.
Luther would say in his Genesis lectures, we talked about this last week too, that a righteous work doesn't come from a righteous a righteous person does not make for a righteous world.
Right.
You got to become righteous first.
Exactly.
And the way you do that is through Christ.
You see, these people are looking for self-justification. And they end up, because of the loss of the vertical, to depend on the horizontal, namely their neighbor. Thesis 26 of the Heidelberg also says it. The law says, do this, and it is never done.
Yeah.
Grace says, believe in this, and everything is already done. So I think we as Christians have a tremendous opportunity to help people out of their self-justification on the horizontal. And it doesn't come about by trying to prove to them certain historical acts in the Bible, namely creation, even though that's true, Jesus' death, his resurrection. None of that's going to work. The only thing that's going to work is talking about how you're justified by absolution. That's the gospel. That's what saving faith clings to, not the historic faith.
Yeah, the self-justification thing really is makes you look at other individuals, doesn't it, and say, look how terrible it is, and we'll fix it for you.
Exactly. You're trying to be perfect, these people who have left church, but you cannot become perfect. Nothing can make you more perfect than the word of Christ in absolving you of your sins and being declared a saint and sinless. You see, we Lutherans believe that sinners are saved not only from sin, death, and the devil, but they're also saved from the law.
Hmm.
And when I mean the law, I just don't mean the curse of the law. I mean the law in the sense of our attempts to become righteous by making ourselves look good in the eyes of the neighbor.
And thus is where you get some people saying, I don't go to your church because I see all those hypocrites.
Hypocrites, and therefore
sinners,
I can't have the horizontal in your church.
Yeah.
That's a really good insight. Instead, we take them back to the vertical. Because if you want to save yourself before God by the law, it's not going to work. But if you want to get justified before the neighbor by the law, it's not going to work. Because what do we always say? The law always
accuses.
Yes. And all we have to do is make it clear to people that they're not getting justified by what they're doing. They may look good in the eyes of others. Look, you would think that becoming president in the United States, boy, the people would all look to you and, well, ask Trump how justified he feels, you know. Or this individual trying for the Supreme Court.
Yes.
No, once, and that's not their fault. It's the way people are thinking when you get rid of the vertical.
You know, what comes to mind, though, is the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Yes.
The vertical and the...
That's good. The Pharisee is staying on the horizontal.
Oh, yeah.
Look what I am doing. You know, I tithe, I fast. And the tax collector, be...
merciful to me.
A poor sinful being.
Yes.
And that's why Jesus says he went down justified and the other guy didn't.
Right.
That's really a good insight. Self-justification never works. Either coram Deo, before God, or coram hominibus, before man.
Right.
And people, doesn't surprise me, the increasing number of suicides, because self-justification always accuses.
Yeah, well, that, you know, as you were talking about it, first what came to mind is depression. People fall into depression.
Yeah, how many people are on depression these days? And they're depressed because they don't find meaning and purpose in their life. And they're not going to find it by their works.
Right.
Guess what?
We're out of time. Oh, no.
But that means we're getting closer to going out to eat.
Great to be with you.
Tom Baker, Wes Reimnitz, on Rumination Thursday. And we hope that this distinction between people who are justifying before God and before the neighbor is both set for loss. The only justification is absolution. Till tomorrow, Good Friday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.